Hello, beautiful humans, and welcome back to the Society Says podcast, where we talk about pressure in society and what we can do to spread awareness and build each other up to live our own unique lives. If you want to be a part of this movement, then grab some snacks, maybe a drink, and keep listening, because on this podcast, we have some very real discussions. All right, welcome to episode number one of the Society Says podcast. Today, I am here with Audie. Let me tell you something really quick about Audie and how this friendship really blossomed for us. So, I think it was 2.5 years ago, was it?
I don't know if it was it that long. I was thinking about that earlier. It was like, what time of year did we meet?
I think it was the beginning of the summer. I was interviewing for a marketing firm, and she was the person interviewing me.
Yeah.
So she really got to know me. It was like I was interviewing for a friendship.
And clearly she got the job.
Yep, got the job. We worked together for a little bit, and
I dipped.
Yep, and then I dipped in love for Thailand. And I came back, and we've been best buds since.
Oh, yeah,
so. Definitely. This is Audie. Do you have anything else to say about yourself?
I like Staria. She's a good friend, and I've never been on a podcast before.
Hey, me neither. This will be an experience for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it weird that, like, I can easily just turn on a video and look at a camera and talk no problem, but nothing's watching me right now, but it's hard for me to talk.
I talk to myself all the time, so this is whatever. This is what I'm feeling like.
It's second nature.
You know, it's funny because I'm literally such a talker that I can just talk for, like, ever, and I'll run out of breath and stuff for no reason. But if someone's like, hey, talk, I have no idea what to say.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah, I don't know. I have to, like, be, like, feeling it, and especially, like, what we're talking about. And then I'll just talk for so long, and especially if it's like a small group. I think that's why I like this whole podcast thing, because it's just like one-on-one, you know, we're going to have some rich conversations. Yeah. And
it's probably like similar to you, like when you're grooving and stuff, you're just dancing a dance, you're having a go, mm-hmm. or dancing, you know, just to fulfill that, you're, you know, having a good time. But if I pointed at you, I'm like, hey, Staria, drop it, do a move for me, you'd be like, what?
Very true. All right, so first we're going to kick this off with talking about therapy and self-care and just, you know, the whole realm of taking care of yourself. So I know that, I don't know if you want to talk about this, like, that you go to therapy.
Yeah, no. So I'm someone who I've been really open about therapy for a very long time. I actually first started going to therapy when I was 14, and it wasn't something that I wanted to do. My mom had kind of just noticed that I was sleeping a lot, I was having these problems, and I wasn't myself, I wasn't as happy of a kid as I used to be. And at first she thought, you know, maybe it was just puberty and, you know, just the regular amount of angst that comes with being a teenager. But then I was sleeping like 17 hours a day. And so at that point, my mom was like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, use the EAP or employee assistance plan through her job. And she was able to use that to help get me some counseling. And I have been going on and off since then. I've had some really great counselors who are awesome. Like, that's what I have right now. And I've had some really crazy counselors that were crazier than I felt like I was. But I don't know. I think I just wanted to talk about this because I feel like to this day, it's 2020. There's still so much like stigma about going to therapy.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I know that for me, since I've been super duper open about it since I was a teenager, when I, even now, like this, you know, a few months ago, I was talking to somebody and I was like, oh yeah, I had a doctor's appointment. They're like, oh, you're not feeling well? And I was like, oh no, it's a therapy appointment. It's for my mental health. Mm-hmm. And they were like kind of shocked, like what? And then yeah. They told me they're also in therapy. They were just like, yeah, I never heard anybody be open about it like that. And I think because I had started in therapy at like an age when I was like 14 and I had even less of a filter than I do now. I was kind of like, oh, my mom put me in therapy. And like, I told everybody about it and stuff. And so I think because I started talking about it back then, and it was more of like a, oh, my mom put me in therapy, I'm so annoyed, my mom thinks I'm crazy, yada, yada. It's been easier like as an adult and since I've continued to go, as an adult. And I just think it's kind of silly that it's not something that we talk about, because if you have a cold, you know,
you go to the doctor.
You go to the doctor and you're not embarrassed about like telling your friends or your family, hey, I'm going to the doctor for this cold. You know, it's how crazy would that be?
I was gonna say I really like that you called it like, oh, I'm going to a doctor's appointment, because that's exactly
I'm going to a doctor that went to school for 8, 9, 10 years to help with my health, is my mental health.
Like, literally, there's something like going on with your health, so you go see a doctor, you go see a professional to help you, like to help guide you through, to even, I won't even touch on medication. I was doing a voiceover last night for a video, and it's about mental health, and we want to touch on medication and how it's okay to take medicine, and like, it's more than okay to take medicine if it's going to help you, you know?
Yeah, if someone has like lupus or cancer or Crohn's disease and stuff like that, you don't see others saying, oh, do you really need to be on that medication for your Crohn's disease?
Yeah.
Or do you just think you need to be on that medication for your Crohn's disease? You don't see people with those types of illnesses being told, you know, maybe if you just are a little bit more positive, maybe if you're just a little bit more, you know, happy, that'll fix things.
I know. Oh my gosh. And it's so interesting. Like, I wonder where this all came from. Like, why is it that like we are always there and alert when something is wrong with our body, like physically, but when it comes to like a mental thing, we're just like, oh, that's nothing. When like really we should be more concerned and alert about mental things, because I feel like if our mental state isn't there, like, you know, and like good, that really affects your physical state as well.
Oh yeah, and it's like proven, like scientifically, there some symptoms of depression are, you know, being fatigued, being exhausted, body aches. These are depression, anxiety, these things physically affect you as well. And I think everybody, you know, and I feel like maybe because of the depression and stuff can come from different things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you become depressed after an event. And sometimes you have a chemical imbalance that just makes you depressed.
Yeah.
Either way, therapy is good for both. Therapy is good if you have a stressful job. Yeah. Therapy is good if you have a hard time communicating with your partner. Therapy is good if you are stressed out over multiple things going on in your life. Therapy is good for grief. Therapy is just good. And I think more people need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just kind of destigmatizing it will be so helpful.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I went through a phase growing up where I was just kind of like angry all the time, and I was very like walls up, and I've definitely like let them down a lot in the past like year. But I like, there were people in my life that I was close to that were starting to go to therapy, and I remember I was just like, what? Like, you don't need to go to therapy, you don't need to talk to people. And like, as I've like gone through this whole like self-development in the past year and a half, I've realized that, and also like getting this brand ready to launch and everything, I've realized that like, no, that's like part of self-care. And I'm so glad that like I was on the other side where I thought at one point that it like wasn't necessary, and now I went through that and realized that, oh no, it is for some people, you know, because I was only thinking about myself. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, like, that's ridiculous, I would never need to talk to somebody. But it's like, no, some people, like, even if they aren't depressed or don't have anxiety, and maybe they don't even, like, they're not even stressed about anything, but they just need to let some things off of their chest once a week, you know?
And I call them my weekly crying sessions, okay? That's what I do. And, you know, because it's okay. It is okay that I go to therapy. I have traumas that I need to unravel. And you know what? Sometimes therapy, therapy isn't always just talking back and forth and stuff. I do a special type of therapy called EMDR, where I have these little vibrating things in my hand, mm-hmm. Both hands, and they vibrate at different times to try to activate the left side of my brain and the right side of my brain.
Oh my gosh.
And while I do that, I'm in a very kind of like relaxed state. My therapist has a white noise machine playing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm supposed to kind of, it's almost like you're sitting in a movie theater in your mind. You kind of replay the event that you'd like to break down.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're just watching what's happening and you're letting your brain do what it's doing, because your brain is going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, and some people, like, their brain can figure it out without that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I need it. I needed the help and stuff. And so it isn't always just sitting down and talking, but that sitting down and talking part is so essential to therapy as well, mm-hmm. because hearing yourself say things and saying things out loud is so powerful. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the middle of a session and I'm just talking. I'm ranting and I'm rambling and I'm emotional and everything is just kind of spilling out. And then I hear it. I hear something that has been inside, but I've never addressed.
Yeah.
And I kind of stop and I say, wow, I never thought of that, but I just said it. Because you have those subconscious thoughts. You mm-hmm. have, your mind is way more complex than just making your body work and thinking, and you know, because the emotions are important. And
yeah,
like you were saying earlier, we're so big on, you know, we want our bodies to be healthy, but we want our minds to be healthy too. And for some reason, it's easier for us to kind of, I think maybe it's because we don't see the bleeding, we don't see sores, we don't see, you know, what the people are going through, and we aren't there.
The mind is such a tricky thing too, because it's so easy to, like, for your mind to get confused and be like, oh no, like, everything is fine, you know, like, I'm just, like, what's going on isn't real. It's easy for your mind to be tricked and to start, like, second guessing your symptoms that you're having. And, you know, those mornings that people that do have depression, they, like, can't make it to work or something, I do think that they go through a struggle where they're, like, they are having a hard time getting out of bed and, like, they just can't do today. They can't do anything. And they probably have that moment where they're just like, no, I'm being ridiculous. Because even though I don't have depression, it is in my family. And I do have moments where I get pretty close to it. And I do have anxiety. So I do have those mornings sometimes that, like, other people do struggle with, where you wake up and for some reason it's just like an off day, you know, and like you just feel like you just can't do anything. You can't go to work, you can't do those things that are on your to-do list. And there's like a moment where your brain switches and you're like, no, like, I'm just making all this up, I'm just trying to get out of things, you know what I mean? So I think talking out loud is definitely so good, because when it's in your brain, it's just so much back and forth. And it's just like, I feel like you're just beating your brain by doing that.
And then there's like guilt. There's guilt associated mm-hmm. with those days where somebody with anxiety or depression, you know, can't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, any mental illness, they just can't get out of bed. And I know I've definitely had those days, and, you know, halfway through the day, I'm like laying in bed and I just feel worse, because I'm like, man, I didn't go to work today. Like, why didn't I go to work today? I'm not sick. And I even have those thoughts myself, which is ridiculous. I know I this, you know, of any health problems I have, this is the health problem, you know? Mm-hmm. And it actually reminds me of what you were talking about the other day, the kind of like the signs of mental exhaustion,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, therapy is even good for that. Just for mental exhaustion. Sometimes you just need to break down your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very clear. Therapy is a good thing. It is a positive thing, and more people need it.
Yeah.
That's why companies, you know, give things like employee assistance plans, stuff like that, mm-hmm. to make sure that you can get at least some kind of counseling and get yourself, you know, referrals, get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Right now I work for a company that does short-term disability, long-term disability insurance. And when I ask people, you know, is this, when I'm, you know, creating a claim for them, is this an injury or an illness? They'll tell me it's neither. It's mental health. well, that's illness. And I always reiterate, that is illness, you know? And it's so, it almost like breaks my heart every time I have to hear it, because I can imagine what they're feeling. I can imagine that they're calling me to create this claim, to go out of work for a period of time, and they probably feel defeated.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, when I ask the question, is it injury or is it illness? And they say no, that kind of like, I think reiterates to me that they know something is wrong, but society is telling them that
they're weak.
And that it's not an illness.
Yeah.
That it's just in their head.
Yeah.
Your head can get ill.
And it makes people feel that word, that they're crazy. And that's never a good word to hear. Like, it is, I don't even like saying that just in passing when you're like joking with friends, be like, oh, you're crazy, you know, like, because it's just like a word that is very real. Like, people that struggle with mental health.
Yeah. When I was 14 and I was first going to therapy, I was complaining to my other 14-year-old friends, my mom thinks I'm crazy. But I'm so grateful to my mom for, you know, introducing me to therapy. My mom struggled with mental health issues. She even had a breakdown, I think, when she was actually pregnant with me, that had my dad make her go into therapy and stuff. And my dad is kind of like an old school Mexican guy. I'll admit, you know, when we were younger, he did not really believe in the mental illness portion. He's kind of like, you got to pony up and, you know, do what you got to do. And that's how his family felt about it as well. But it's good, because since we've gotten older, you know, my mom had to do the therapy. I've had to do therapy. And my dad has, it's really opened my dad's eyes to the fact that mental illness is an illness. And I can say that's definitely a really positive thing, that, people's minds can change.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's why I wanted to talk about, like, the destigmatization. talk about, you know what I'm saying. because you can change your own mind. Therapy isn't a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing, and it helps a lot of people, you know, through their daily lives. And crying is okay. It's so good. Sometimes you just need to cry. I'm like, my boyfriend hates me because I'll just be in, like, my office, and he's walking in. I'm like, no, don't walk in. I'm crying. I'm watching military homecoming videos, pregnancy announcements, and I'm just bawling ugly. Like,
yeah, literally like 3 days ago, it was on Monday. Monday morning, I woke up and I was just like, I was just sad. And like, Angel was like, what is going on? Like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, let me process my thoughts really quick and then I'll talk to you. And like, I was just like, I just feel like crying because you're leaving Friday. And he was like, babe, that's a whole week away. And I'm like,
let me feel this.
I'm like, my brain just works differently. And like, that's kind of something cool that's going on with our marriage, is that he doesn't struggle with like mental stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I do. And so him like learning these things and realizing that some mornings I wake up off, and like things that are gonna happen like farther in the future start to affect me sooner. And like, for him, it's like, well, he just takes things like one step at a time, you know. He doesn't think
about
that.
And that's your anxiety. That's what that is. It's your anxiety. You know, you're kind of like living in the future pretty much, you know, even though you're so excited to be with your partner right now, knowing that they're gonna, you know, be leaving and stuff. Your anxiety kind of kicks in, like, they're leaving, and it's hard for you to actually enjoy those moments.
Yeah, like, I feel like I have to spend every second like doing something before, like, filling up and using all the time that I have before he leaves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to make this switch to our next topic now, because I'm not good at smooth transitions, so I'm just gonna say it.
Okay.
So our next topic is body image, which I love talking about this topic with you because I feel like we have the best conversations. So I don't know if you want to kick this off or if you want me to.
You kick it off. I have no idea what I was going to say.
So for me, I guess I can, sometimes I feel hesitant talking about body image, like, because me as like this girl that is not like plus size, but I'm not like stick thin either. I'm you know, I'm like, I'm pretty average.
You don't have to look a certain type of way to have body image issues.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm realizing. And it's funny, like, even though I created this brand, like, me myself, I'm learning more and more as I, like, post every day and, like, get messages from people. And that body image project that you did with me, I got so many people, like, responding back to
me. I'll have
to
read those after this.
Yeah, and, like, people just, like, love it. And I did have one person that came to me and was like, well, like, you know, because I, during that whole project, I was talking about, like, nutrition and diets and stuff, and I had someone challenge me. They were like, nothing's wrong with diets. And I was like, yeah, I know nothing's wrong with diets, but, like...
No, there are things that are wrong with diets.
Well,
diet
some.
Culture is not even... The word diet, there is a lot wrong with that. There is. It's... If you want to eat healthier and have a lifestyle change, that is okay. Mm-hmm. But diets, it sounds restrictive. And, you know, at least I can say at least for me personally. Maybe there are people who can go on diets and...
And it works for them.
And it works for
yeah.
them. But for me, diet sounds like temporary. It sounds like I'm going to be on this diet for this next month because I have an event coming up. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, that's what diets were, you know, taught to me as restrictive and as you can't have this, you can't have that, mm-hmm. you can't have this. Whereas
it's very negative.
That's what it is. Whereas yeah. more of like a lifestyle change or eating healthier. You don't even fucking say it's a diet. Just eating healthier
yeah.
says I'm able to do this. I'm making a choice to put more nutrition in my body. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Also. Hilarious, it said loose instead of lose on the thing for that video.
Oh shoot, it does.
It does. I had my friend tell me that.
Oh.
We're gonna look back at that video and he was like, I noticed one thing about it. I was like, give it to me.
What, you mean like the papers?
I guess he said it says loose instead of lose.
Oh gosh. Well, hey people,
it's telling me to stop being so loose. It's all right. I get it. No, but
yeah, this girl was just like, she was being very nice about it, but
yeah.
I think she was also in high school too, which is like a rough, that's like, I feel like the age where you start thinking about diets and thinking about your body. And I was like, look, there are great nutrition blogs out there. There are people who know what they're talking about and who are very helpful. I'm not saying anything about that because I try to stay neutral with
mm-hmm.
my posts. I'm like just trying to get people thinking.
Yeah.
But it was
and that's what you're doing.
Yeah. It was very interesting. Like, getting feedback from people or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think your video actually has the most views, that video.
Share it again. Go follow Society Says. but yeah. And I mean, like for me, my experience with dieting, the first time I went on a diet, I was 8.
Oh my gosh.
That is a very young age.
Wow.
Because, I've never in my life been a small kid. I have no pictures of me not even having like a little bit of chunk on me
yeah.
and stuff. And I've always, and you look at my parents, look at my family. We are a bigger built people.
Yeah.
but being younger, and there was just so much pressure on,
yeah.
on, I think us especially and the girls especially, of course, to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I felt like I started noticing my body a lot sooner than other kids. Like, I was already critical of my body at like age 5. I remember being like a really little
wow.
kid and like looking at like my what's literally baby fat.
Yeah.
Because I was 5
yeah.
and like squishing it and saying, oh, this is gross, I don't want to be fat, yada yada. And that kind of stuff caused things like, I don't want to eat in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started sneaking food, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just having that kind of concern and having... And for years, my life, like, revolved around my body. It really, really did. It was me constantly being miserable because I'm fat.
Yeah.
And I feel like I didn't allow myself to enjoy things fully because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Prom, graduation, stuff like that. I, you know, had a good time and stuff, but there was always in the back of my head how much more fun this would be if I was skinny, which makes no fucking
mm-hmm.
sense. Like, how is this going to be funner if I'm skinny, you know?
Well, you know what's interesting? All those things that you just said, I went through those same things. I would sneak food into, like, my mom would make cookies or brownies, and I wouldn't want my siblings to see how many I'm eating, so I would sneak some. And sometimes it was pretty obvious because I'd have chocolate on my teeth.
Oh, my God. I had, like, a pillow sheet filled with, like, fruit roll-up wrappers and stuff. It was bad. Like, one time I snuck a lemon, and then I hid it in, like, this little fake, like, little makeup case I had when I was a kid. I didn't find it till, like, 2 years later, and it was green, and it had hair.
Oh, my gosh. But it's so, like, it's so interesting. Like, I love this because, like, we have two different body frames, you know, but we both growing up went through similar thought processes.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that it doesn't matter if someone is stick thin or plus size. It does not matter. Or if they're in between, like, everyone, I think, well, not everyone. I mean, I'm sure that there's some people that are pretty content with their bodies, but.
Which is good. I'm happy for them. I'm hopeful for them.
Yeah, that's awesome that they can just be okay with who they are, you know? But I think a lot of people, especially through teenage years.
Puberty.
Oh my gosh. Middle school and high school, it's just, you never think that your body's good enough. And especially when you start to wear bikinis for the first time, it's like, I just don't think you're never ready. You never have that bikini body. You never have the body to go into that prom dress that you want or whatever, you know, like there's always sneaking food or like, I used to not eat on dates. Like I never would eat on dates because I just don't want them like seeing me eat because, you know, I'm a grub. I eat a ton of food.
I'm a grub. Oh my goodness. You're a gentle. Chill out.
Yeah, you still legally change that?
Oh my God. Anyway.
But yeah, it's just, it's so interesting to see that it really does not like matter what body shape or size that you are. You still like so many girls and boys struggle with the same issues.
I think in a lot of it's going to have to do with like your social media. Social media, society, you know, oh my God, it's almost like we're on a thing called Society Says. I think something that I've noticed that's helped me a lot, because this is something I still struggle with, my body image. This is still, I'm still a big girl, and it's easier for me to, I think, be confident when I'm around, you know, people I love. but there are definitely times where I feel like I'm kind of out there and I'm alone, and I even have some anxiety around, like, oh my God, is the first thing someone sees about me, is the first thing they notice that I'm fat?
Yeah.
When that's not how people look at me. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe some of them do, but
if they do, you don't need to interact with those people.
The people that matter don't mind, and the people that mind don't matter.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You know? And being a plus size girl, you know, and looking on the internet, or being anyone with a fucking body, being on the internet, you see so many people or things that are either photoshopped or you know, people who have the time and who have the money to be at the gym 5 hours a day, you know, and who, you know, have personal chefs to make their own amazing meals and stuff like that. Because those are the people you're going to see. You're going to see, you know, not to name drop anybody, but you're going to see all the people, you know, who are particular Kardashians. Fine, I'll say it. but you're going to see them and you're going to be like, oh my God, well, they have a incredible body. And I'm not even talking about like plastic surgery or anything like that, because I don't give a fuck, do you?
Yeah.
But the fitness portion of it and the health portion of it, there are people who can afford to be at the gym 5 hours a day. There are people who can afford to, you know, have a personal chef create their meals. Whereas the average person, you know, who works an 8-hour day can maybe get an hour at the gym, maybe, you know, maybe two, maybe three, you know, can that person really spend $100 a week on that meal prep? And those are kind of, you know, the things that, and at the same time, not everybody has to do that.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
It's just social media that, like, scrolling through, especially if you do follow those people, they're showing all of, like, their you know, those, like, mirror selfies in the gym and, like, their progress, which is awesome that people, like, want to show their progress. Oh, but
I love fitness.
Yeah.
I go to the gym 4 times a week.
It's, I know, you're amazing at going to the gym. Seriously, you're my inspiration.
I love the gym. I love fitness. And I've actually recently started, you know, kind of eating healthier, not dieting, mm-hmm. 4 days a week, you know, where I'm, you know, Mondays I don't eat any meat. And I make sure to have a lot of green stuff in my diets, a lot of boiled eggs, so many boiled eggs. And it's something that I'm still learning and working with and progressing, but I've been steadily working out for, I think, as long as I've known you.
Yeah, you really have. It's amazing.
Like, I've been, you know, and I honestly, not to go back, but my fitness has a lot more to do with my mental health than anything else.
Oh,
it does. Yeah. And, you know, but also at the same time, feeling good, feeling strong, lifting weights is so, it feels good. And it's a nice little, for me, a good time to have, like, by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I'm working on a goal, you know, like, hey, I can lift this much right now. What can I lift next time?
Yeah.
But like I was saying earlier, you don't have to have a certain body type to have body image issues.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to. You know, it's going to happen. And I think a really good way for us to, you know, us to combat that is to kind of, like, take control of our social media.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for me on my Instagram and my Pinterest, I in my search bar, I'm always searching, you know, plus size fitness, plus size positivity, body positivity, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because... And now my feed, when I look at my Explore page and stuff like that, it's all big, beautiful babies that look like me. And it's really cool to see people who look like me where I won't normally, you know, I won't normally see them and see them kind of like living their best life. Lizzo, oh my God, Lizzo.
Oh my gosh.
Lizzo can have anything she wants from me and more. She is
beautiful.
You know, and people are going to talk shit. Like, And it's so funny to me because when I hear people talk shit about Lizzo, I almost take it a little personally, because Lizzo's a big girl like me, and you know everyone's always gonna go for the easy thing. They're always gonna call her fat. She knows.
Yeah, she knows, and she knows.
Yeah.
Actually, you know her cover of her album.
Yeah, it's her naked and just sitting there.
Yeah.
And because I love you.
Love that picture, and I'm so proud of her for doing that. Like, how powerful of an image that is. When I first saw that, I was like, "Who is this?"
I was
this
shook.
Chick?
Oh my goodness!
Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I was shook.
Yeah, I think that was such, like, a good thing for her, especially in this day and time. Like, this is just, like, such a good time to put a cover out there like that, to show that, like, she feels good. And she wasn't even trying to, like, really be glamorous. I mean, she's just chilling
She's
there.
Just sitting and just being herself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she has makeup on, her hair is done, but, like, she's not posing in, like, a seductive way to, like, make it look... quote-unquote better.
And it's because that album, 'Cause I Love You, was a very personal album for her.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And I think that photo and just sitting there and looking at people, I don't even know if it has anything to do with her body. I think it's got to do with her vulnerability, you
yeah.
know? And it's, at least for me personally, it's so nice to see somebody who's got the belly, you know? In these... amazing events, like when she was at the Grammys. Oh my God, her dress.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, she looked amazing. And you know what? She knows she looks amazing. She also doesn't give a fuck what anybody says.
Yeah.
And that is one of my favorite things about her. I strive to be like Lizzo.
Oh my gosh, she's,
quote me on that.
She's confident. And you know, that is why I started this podcast. This is why I started Society Says, because I just want people to be confident with themselves. You know, like, that's why I want to have rich, deep conversations about, like, every topic possible and try to, like, put out content that at least one person will, like, read a post or something and, like, at least feel a little bit more confident about themselves.
Yeah, or feel like, you know, they're not alone. That
yeah.
they, you know, I had several people, you know, coworkers and stuff who... you know, told me, I loved the video. I loved it. You know, that what you, I sent you a screenshot of that thing that person said to me that they were really, you know, thank you for doing this. And I think it was definitely a really vulnerable position for me. I feel like I actually had kind of like a vulnerability hangover after it got posted, which is a thing I learned in therapy. but it was just so nice, and I really, really hope that people who saw that video and who saw me and saw my body for what it is, mm-hmm. You know, were able to smile at it.
Yeah.
Were able to smile and maybe and truly like feel something, because my man thinks I'm hot, and that's really all that matters.
Well, I mean, really, like it just like. I mean, what really matters is how you feel, but next is, like, to mm-hmm. make sure the people that are in your inner circle, make sure that they're taking care of you.
That they're good people.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like
you know.
It makes me so sad when I see people that are hanging out with others just because they think that they need to be in that crowd, but, like, they're not good to them, you know? It's like, no.
All the time. Relationships with your freaking friends. There's trash people everywhere.
Yeah.
But... You know, I think at the end of the day, I love my body. The person who is intimate with me loves my body.
Yeah.
And I was going to be more vulgar, but I'm like, I'll be nice. I'm pretty sure your mom's going to listen to this. I'm working on, you know, creating a better relationship with my body because it from age 8, even mm-hmm. younger, maybe 5. I'm 23 years old now, so almost 20 years of me struggling with this. But at this point in my life, going to therapy and, you know, having those daily practices of self-love, mm-hmm. I think are helping build me into a better person.
Yeah.
And there's actually one thing I wanted to say about this. I think another way that we can really stop the cycle of this, because like you said, you've experienced the same negative body image issues.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom probably has. Angel probably has.
Yeah.
You know, Zach probably has, you know, and I think a really, really good way to start is by talking to the kids about it.
Oh, heck yes.
I had a situation. I have a 5-year-old goddaughter, and I took her to go get her nails painted one time. I was getting my nails done, and she was getting her nails painted, and it was kind of in a crowded little nail spot. And while we were sitting there drying our nails and stuff, and it was her and me, we were both drying our nails. There's like 5 other women around us. Veronica said, I forget what we were talking about, but she started laughing and she said, Nina, you have a big fat belly. And I saw like all of the women go, oh my God. Like at least 2 of them pissed themselves. Like they were so shook. And like they all looked at me like, how was I going to react to that? And it was kind of in that moment I was like, my reaction right here is gonna do more for this girl than I think any other talks I could have with her.
Yeah.
And so, and I remember when I was telling my mom the story, I got to this part of the story and she was like, oh my gosh, did you get her? She shouldn't say that to people. And I told her no. And what I did was put my hand on my belly and I said, yeah, girl, I got a big old belly. I was like, and that's okay. I was like, do you think I'm beautiful? And my goddaughter said, yeah, Nina, you're gorgeous. And I was like, and I'm gorgeous with my belly, right? And she was like, yeah. And just the shock from the 5 women who were around us was so, I mean, sad, kind of, the fact that,
yeah,
because that's not how they would have reacted. And you know what? Do you know why? Because they were never taught to react like that. And neither was I.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in that moment, I was like, okay, I need to step up. And I need to be the example of the type of woman that I want my goddaughter to be.
Yeah.
And what was really beautiful and amazing that happened after that is the other women got involved in the conversation.
Really?
They were like, you know, they were pinching their own little muffin tops and they're like, yeah, I have it too. And I'm beautiful. I have it too.
Oh,
you might
gosh.
Get it too when you get older and that's okay. Cause you're beautiful.
And it made me cry.
but it was just, and it was so, you know, to see the women and they all kind of had these little smiles on their faces because I think that's something that they had never experienced. And I know for a fact, it's something I never got.
Oh, yeah.
And then the conversation was done. I didn't have to have a conversation. No, Veronica, don't call people fat. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
She was just a little girl who was making an observation. There was no malice behind what she was saying. She was giggling because she's 5.
Yeah.
And she wasn't saying it in a mean way. She was just making an observation, and she wasn't wrong. I do got a big belly. Yeah. That's one of the biggest parts on me. That's where I carry a lot of my weight. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I'm gorgeous with it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was so nice to hear those other women, and these are women who are, you know, older than me and stuff, kind of step in, and they were like, oh, I have it too, and I'm beautiful, and you're probably, and maybe you'll get it when you get older too, and you're gorgeous too, and,
yeah.
you know, and it was just so, just to see the shock on their faces, and for my goddaughter to just kind of absorb that and have several women, you know, agree with me when I felt like I was being the person I wanted her to be,
yeah,
you know, was, I think, really, really powerful. And it's just, I think, very, like, it was, I think, a great moment.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Veronica will ever remember it, but I will.
But it's at least there. You know, she's old enough that that memory will be there, even if she's not aware that she remembers it.
Even if it plants subconsciously in her.
Yeah.
You know, let's say, because my goddaughter, she comes from my adopted sister. My adopted sister doesn't really look like us. She's definitely smaller mm-hmm. than the rest of us. And, you know, her husband, I don't even know what his family looks like. They're not very close. But... we don't know what Veronica's going to look like when she gets older. My sister for sure has got some hips on her, so maybe she'll get some hips. Maybe she'll get a belly. You know, maybe maybe she'll stay skinny. Maybe she'll, I don't know. Either way, I'm going to continue to plant those seeds in my goddaughter's mind that she is gorgeous, and I'm going to watch them grow. And I know that as she gets older and she hits puberty, we're going to have some challenges with her body.
Regardless, like, she's going to.
Yeah, because of society.
Yeah.
I'm going to just keep using that word throughout this whole thing, just so they can really get the point, you know?
Yep.
And, but it was just a really powerful moment, I think. And I felt like I was doing good as a godmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's not, that one instance isn't enough. It's not. I need to continue to be that way.
Oh, yeah.
I need to. I actively make sure I don't. Because, see, we all have those days where we want to bad talk ourselves.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I'm 100% sure I do not do that in front of my goddaughter. She's not going to hear me say anything bad mm-hmm. about myself. And if I hear her say something bad about herself, we talk about it.
Yeah.
We talk about it. She, you know, it's something as small as... on her fifth birthday, she threw up because
yeah.
she was born in July and her mother had her running around in the heat.
Oh my gosh.
After eating a bunch of cake. Of course she threw up. And she was literally like, I'm holding a towel with her puke in it.
I feel like we should clarify, we're in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're in Arizona right now. And it was like, my goddaughter was born July 11th. Jesus Christ.
Hot, it's hot outside.
It's the hottest time of the year. So she, you know, she's crying. She's so embarrassed. I threw up. You know, I was like, girl, I threw up last week. I was drinking.
Yep.
At least you have a better excuse than I did. You know,
it happens. You know, it's something that happens with your body when it's not happy with what's inside. You know, like, it's nothing wrong with that.
And it's so funny is we have to support girls and help them become really strong mm-hmm. women, which I think takes me to the next topic I wanted to talk about.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. Okay. I watched the trailer.
Yes. Oh, my God. So the next thing I want to talk about is my intent here is to convince everyone to go watch this movie in theaters
mm-hmm.
multiple times if you can, because I'm going to go broke watching this movie. It's called Promising Young Woman. I don't know the name of the lead actress, but she's familiar. We'll look it up. But it was written and directed by a woman. 7 of the 11 producers are women, I believe. I didn't confirm that, but that's a theory. And pretty much it's just this, like, let me try to describe the trailer to you. So the trailer opens of, you know, you see a girl who's very, you know, looks like she's blackout drunk pretty much,
mm-hmm.
you know, not able to walk, kind of yada yada. And you just kind of like hear the, you know, people saying, oh man, girls like that. You know, they get themselves in trouble, stuff like that. And then you see, like, this guy, you know, take her home. And the entire, like, first 30 to, like, 45 seconds of that trailer is just, like, anxiety-inducing. Because, especially, and you know, it's so crazy because it's said without being said. And as, I think, a woman and really as a person, you know you had an idea of what was going to happen.
It's so unsettling.
It is. So you see, you know, she's so drunk and stuff, and this quote-unquote nice guy takes her home, and he lays her in the bed and lays on top of her, and she's like, wait, no. And she said, what are you doing? And he's like just kissing on her and stuff. And and then she stops like slurring and she goes, hey, what are you doing?
Yep.
And that part, I died.
Like, I've never seen a movie like this before.
Yeah.
Like,
what is happening? And then boom. The violin cover of Toxic by Britney Spears. That's all I needed. I was gonna watch the movie. I didn't even need to see the rest of the fucking trailer, but I did. But yeah, so you just kind of, so you can assume like from the story, you know, trailer is kind of about this woman. You know, she goes and she pretends she's blackout drunk. And she waits for a guy to try to take her home. Mm-hmm. And then she does something to them. I'm not sure what she does, but there's like a notebook in the thing. And she's like crossing people off. I hope she's killing them. I ain't gonna lie. I hope she's killing them.
While I was watching this, I was like, man, this person that is directing and producing, like these people that are doing this movie and putting it out there, they're going to get so much crap from society. Like, there's going to be a group of people that hates this. And
oh, yeah. And it's the same people who are, like, always, like, just when rape accusations come out and stuff like that, they're like, wait a minute, we didn't, you know, act like they were there. Like, it's always the people who are so hesitant to believe, you know, victims of assault and stuff like that. And yes, there are a portion, I'm not going to be one of those people who, you know, oh, you know, only this many yada yada, you know, fake an assault. Because there's definitely been people who've faked assaults before, and those people deserve to go to prison, and they deserve the, you know, most extensive, you know, punishment from the law, because that is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you can ruin people's reputations forever.
Yeah.
Based off of that. But that doesn't, but because there's those people are out there like that, that doesn't mean that we need to invalidate the actual, you know, trauma of the actual victim's, you know, experience. When somebody is robbed, even though there are for sure people who fake robberies for like insurance and stuff, right? We've all definitely for sure heard about that before. The first thing that, you know, people say, they're not like, wait, did you do this? Are you actually lying? Did you want to be robbed? You know what? And it's just so fucking nutty to me.
And, you know, the thing is, like, what gets to me about this whole thing is, like, that whole thing of, oh, well, you were asking for it because of the way you were dressed.
Or because you were so drunk.
Yes. I'm in the process of actually, like, putting together a project that's going to be, like, a burlesque dance, and they're going to be dressed all scandalous, and it's going with, like, the hashtag, this is not consent. Mm-hmm. Just, like, because of the way that, like, we're dressed, it doesn't mean anything, you know? And, like, adding alcohol on top of that, it's, like, it's okay for people to go out and drink and have a fun time. They shouldn't have to be worried that people are going to take advantage of them, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie, there are going to be people that are, like, that's so wrong that she was faking it, blah, 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 you know? But I think this movie is also going to do so much good for people.
You know what? I think even though the, you know, trailer first 30 to 45 seconds, I think there should be, like, a warning on there, because that's very, very much so, you know, anxiety-inducing, especially for anybody who has PTSD, who that's related to sexual assault.
Yeah.
But the rest of that trailer, to see her just, you know, take control of a situation where that person was going to have all of the control, or they thought they were going to.
Yeah.
You know? And for her to take control and say, what the fuck are you doing? And call them out on it. You know, because and just to go after the quote-unquote nice guys, you know, because Brock Turner, he was a nice guy. He must have been a real nice guy. He got fucking 3 months for raping someone and ruining her, you know? And so just to see this film and to see it was so empowering, you know, watching it. And, you know, seeing, and like, it's so funny. We all knew what would have happened.
I know, yeah.
We all knew what would have happened.
Before he even took her back to the house. Like,
Before he put her on the bed, we saw the way he was looking at her. We saw She was so drunk, you know, and we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And how scary is that? Mm-hmm. We knew what was going to happen. And then just her, you know, kind of just getting up and taking the control back in the situation and calling them out on what they were doing.
Yeah. Hopefully they won't do it again.
Because you know what? Oh, I think she fucking killed them. There's some red marks in that little notebook. I think she was getting them. But it's just, it's so, you know, I really think it's super empowering, you know? Mm-hmm. And then in the movie, it encompasses so much of rape culture and what women and men experience every day.
Yeah.
And particularly, like, there's like one scene in the trailer where she's sitting with like another woman, and she's like, well, no, the other woman's like, well, no one believed it happened, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a, because that happens. That mm-hmm. happens when women are assaulted men are assaulted. Even your closest of friends.
Especially men.
Nobody believes
when men are assaulted. Because nobody does. Like, but you're the man, you know? Like,
you're supposed to be the one in power. And that's obviously got to do with, you know, just misogyny in general.
Yeah.
But it just, please everyone go watch this movie. Please, I'm definitely going to like watch it several times. I know I'm taking all of my friends to go watch it, and I'm going to just not shut up about it until it comes out in April.
Yep. April 17th.
Okay. So everyone please watch this movie. I think it's, you know, it was even, because ever since I saw the trailer for it, I've been obsessed. I've been stupid obsessed. I've showed the trailer to everybody. I showed it to my therapist. She shows it to her clients.
Wow.
Yeah, she does. And, like, I'm just, you know, if me and my therapist could be friends, I'd take her. but I'm going to go, well, I showed it to my mom. I showed it to, and I think, you know, and I'll say this because I don't know the male perspective, but as a woman, I know so many women who've been assaulted. Mm-hmm. I do, in one way or another. And, you know, obviously those, you know, people in my life who have had those types of situations, I, you know, obviously told them before. I showed them the trailer. Hey, first few seconds might be a little bit rough. I'm going to be honest with you, but I really want you to see this.
Yeah.
And they, just to watch, you know, their eyes light up watching it. And them, you know, just that smile on their face, because goddamn, somebody mm-hmm. in this, it's just a movie, it's just a story, it's not real, but somebody is standing up. It's you know, they can put themselves in the shoes of a victim, because they have been.
Well, what's amazing to me is that to make a movie, it takes so many people to make and produce a movie and to put it out. And like, all those male actors that are doing that, they knew what they were auditioning for, you know? And so I just think, just as a production itself in the making, that is just so cool for me to think about that. And obviously I think about all this because I can't watch movies without thinking about the production side of it.
Of course.
But it just, like, warmed my heart that, like, everyone involved, they probably all think that this is such a good idea.
And they probably all grew and learned from it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there's definitely, 100%, I shit you not, people who believe that taking somebody home who's stupid drunk and having sex with them isn't wrong.
I know.
There are people who believe that.
It's so scary.
It is. And you know what? Maybe there are going to be people who see there's always going to be incels on Twitter who are like, oh gosh, you know, like, you're just you know, shit talking any project made by a woman. Look at what everyone's saying about fucking Birds of Prey right now. But I think that because the actors and stuff, I think they would have, you know, anytime I've had to like act in something, which was in high school, I know I did research on the type of person I had to play.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the men who are involved in this project, I think, probably learned a lot from it.
I think so. I don't think that there's many, like, actors and actresses out there that play a role that they don't agree with, especially when it's making such a bold statement like this.
Oh, yeah. No, this is saying, this is this is saying something. Yeah. And like, I just really, it got so many like really, really great reviews at Sundance. And I'm just really, my biggest fear is that it's going to be stupid, but I don't think so. Like, I was telling my friend about the movie, and she was so excited. She was like, but what if the story behind the movie is that what she's doing is wrong? I was like, this shit was written and directed by a woman.
There's no way. I mean, if it ends up being like that, I'll be so disappointed.
Oh yeah, no. If it ends up, we're deleting this podcast. if that's what happens, then I'm gonna. But I really, really do not think so. I think this, like you said, this movie has such a powerful statement behind it, and I think that a lot of people can understand. And you know, it's so funny to me that I, you know, I'm so happy to be in 2020 right now. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care that Donald Trump is our president. He's a fucking dickhead. But, I mean, obviously I do care, and I hope bad things happen to him. But don't come at me, FBI. But, you know, I was watching in movies now. Like, what was the movie? It was Good Boys. It was, I don't know if you've seen it. It was made by Seth Rogen, but it's just a raunchy movie about little boys and stuff who are like 12. But in there, they mention like a consent pep rally or something that they had to go through. And like when the little boy, you know, kissed the little girl, he was like, "Can I give you a kiss?" And she was like, "I consent." And like, yeah, it's funny and stuff like that. But honestly, yeah, consent pep rallies for middle schoolers.
Yeah, that's so smart.
That's a really good idea, because you know what?
That's when they want to start doing things.
And that's when they need to start learning about consent. And I think it's like, and in certain situations when it comes, and sex in general is just a very personal thing for a lot of people, that it needs to be something that needs to be talked about with younger kids.
Gosh. Yeah, don't even get me started. Like, I don't know. For people that don't know, that are listening, I just recently got married, and going through all these, like, adulting things that I did, you know, that are so new to me, and I talk to so many people that are close to me, like, about certain things, you know, about, like, okay, I'm just gonna say it. Like,
about sex, say it. No, yeah.
This is already an explicit episode.
We'll put, like, little TMA on there.
But, like, I talk to people about it, and, like, I just, a lot of people that I talk to made it sound like it is so painful for the girl and so unpleasant, and, like, nobody told me, like,
it's not supposed to hurt.
Like, I guess where I am going with this is that so much more needs to be taught, and, like, truthful, like, straight up.
And positive.
Real stories, you know, of people, like, their experience. I have already told myself that anybody that comes to me that's getting married and, like, these things are new to them, you know, and they want an honest answer, I'm going to give them details, whether they like it or not. I want them to be ready and know what is happening and not feel, like, worried that it's not going to be fun or it's not going to be something that's pleasant for them, when, like, it's supposed to
be a really good experience. I felt it, honestly. It's because the reason why those things come up is because it's trying to scare women out of having sex and being sexual creatures, when we literally give birth to people. And you know what needs to happen for that to happen? A penis. That's what needs to happen. It's just so, you know, we do need to talk more positively about, like, we just need to talk more positively about everything, because I feel like we're just so scared about what other people think and stuff. Even going back to therapy, body image, sex, like, we're all so scared of being judged, and, you know, and it's so, and as much as you can be like, I don't give a fuck what people think and stuff like that, there's always something that you kind of do care what other people think. And I think what Staria is trying to do with her page right now is kind of have you face those things, you know. For me, that thing that, you know, I needed to face was, you know, kind of exposing my body and letting myself be shown in, like, a light of beauty that I don't allow myself to be shown in, because sometimes I don't think I'm beautiful. You know, Lindsay is doing the piece about mental health and about, you know, the stigma behind that as well. you know, Colleen and her
the makeup beauty
and, you know, thinking that they are a certain way. I think what Star is trying to do is kind of have us confront these things to show others that they can do it too. That mm-hmm. they can confront these demons or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And they can take control and they can take power from it. Yeah. You know, and it, for me, it was so empowering being able to do this project with you.
Yeah.
I was just gonna, I think, and I didn't expect that. Like, yeah. I did it. I really did it. I was just like, Sara was like, hey, come over, be naked. Just kidding. She only says that when Angel's not around. but she was like, you know, she was super, super nice. She was like, hey, you can tell me no. I totally get it if you say no. Mm-hmm. But, you know, can you wear just like spandex and sports bra? And I was just like, yeah. Because I'll do anything for Star. Yeah, like, I will, you know. And I was just kind of like, yeah, like, whatever, you know, I went there in my chanclas and stuff. Like, I was like, you know, I'm just doing this for Staria. But then after, you know, she put everything together, I saw the pictures.
Oh my gosh, amazing pictures. Holy crap.
And then the video came out. I was just so shook by how I felt about it, like, emotionally.
I love seeing the comments, too. That was my favorite part. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is just, like, it's so sweet, like, the love that came from it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just, it was surprising, you know, because I don't know. I was just kind of, I think, what I don't know what the fuck I was thinking whenever we were making the video. I was just like, oh, it's going to be on Star's page. No big deal. No one's going to see it. But the whole point is that for people to see it.
Well, I'm kind of glad that it wasn't in your head while we were filming, you know, like you were there and like we filmed and then it hit you afterwards. I'm kind of glad that it did that.
That I wasn't like shaking while we were doing the thing. But yeah, and, you know, so afterwards, you know, I had my little like kind of vulnerability hangover where it was like, people saw my roles.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting those messages and seeing the comments on it and seeing just the positive reaction that came out of it was just so, it was just overall really, really nice. And it was fun to show my family members and, you know, for them to be like, oh my God, Audie, look at you,
I know.
And, Kate Hudson, I want some more Fabletics, thank you. If you could, please. and it's just, I don't know, it was overall really fun and a really good experience for me. And I think it actually might have just kick started some stuff in therapy for me to kind of help me get a little bit deeper, which is like literally what Staria wants to do. She's already doing her thing. I'm so proud.
Good. But yeah, the last thing I want to say with all the topics that we've covered today is, I know we've talked a lot about women, but obviously, like, all of this stuff applies to men too, you know?
Oh yeah. I honestly talk about women because I'm a woman. Yeah. I'm sorry. And like, I don't, that's the perspective I have.
It's
really
just
sorry.
Our perspective. But yeah. Like, I do just want to clarify any, like, if there's like a guy listening, like, everything we said, that it's also for men to listen to, also self-care, therapy, body image. We know that men have body image issues as well. And
we gotta get Angel and Jay on here to talk about their perspective, because we do need the male perspective.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not a man. I've been saying that since childhood.
But yeah, like we're thinking about both genders here. We know that both go through very similar trials, and so we're just gonna wrap up. I have two questions for you, if you're good with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, what is the biggest thing people need to be aware of in society? I know that's a big question.
Society's big.
I know.
let me see. So the thing they need to be most aware of? Themselves. I think themselves. They need to be aware of the person that they are and where they stand. And I think they need to be aware of, you know, what they're, you know, if they believe in a soul or like an essence or whatever, they need to be aware of the love that, you know, their soul wants to give to others,
mm-hmm.
and figure out how to give it to other people. So I think being aware of themselves and being aware of like who they are deep down inside, mm-hmm. you know, even though it's not necessarily in society a big, big thing, mm-hmm. but I think how we are individually, I'm hitting this table, I think how we are individually, we make up society.
Oh, yeah.
So if I feel like if we have a society full of people who love themselves and love others.
What an awesome place. Like, everyone is literally, like, so unique in their own way. And if everybody mm-hmm. would just act their own unique self.
Without having, trying to fit into a crowd or something like that, it could make up a really, really beautiful world. So I think mm-hmm. the thing that people need to be more aware of in society is who they are.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay. How do you think people can do their part by helping in society? And I think we kind of just touched on that. But, like, what's, I guess,
compassion. More... Compassion. Having compassion for others. Having, you know, and realize, and having compassion and empathy. You know, mm-hmm. just realizing that your experience isn't the same as others and being open to hear their experience. Because mm-hmm. even if they aren't the same, there's always going to be similarities. Like we were talking about earlier, you and I have two completely different body types. And yet we were doing a lot of the same shit when we were younger.
Yeah.
You know? And I think just having that compassion for other people, be it, you know, and not just thinking about yourself, mm-hmm. you know, being aware, loving yourself and stuff, but having compassion for others, I yeah. think is really what the world in general needs. And I think if, you know, they take a step back and try to look at things from that other person's perspective, mm-hmm. then I think that that will bring so much more understanding, communication, and just, I think, love.
Yeah.
I feel like those problems of, you know, maybe this person has this wall up, or maybe this person wants to hurt me this way, or maybe this, or maybe that. All those maybes, they're bringing up walls that isn't letting the love get through. Yeah.
If we can all just have compassion and empathy before judging and assuming things.
Period.
Perfect. Well, if people want to find you on social media.
My tag is at AudiBody3. That's A... Hold on, how do you spell? It's AdiBody3. I don't really do anything on there. You'll just see me.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Adi, for being the first person on.
I had no idea this was the first one. I thought she had already done. I came here. I thought she was ready, and I had no idea this was the first time, but whatever.
I mean, there was a, this is technically the second.
Thank episode, you. I feel better.
But, you know, the first episode's like only like a short one, me just talking about myself, and that's it.
I'll take it. As long, you know what? If you're not first, you're last. I don't know how that helps, but okay. All right, are we done? We're wrapping up.
All right, yep. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. Stay tuned next week for the next episode of Society Says.
Bye.